The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the Cabinet will today discuss whether to unpick Ireland's triple lock. As Minister for Defence Helen McEntee brings her amendments to the Defence Bill to her colleagues this morning, is this really a good idea? Well, Niall Collins is with us, Minister of State for Agriculture and Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick County, and he joins me now, as does Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown, and you're both welcome to the programme. Sinead, I'll come to you first. You say that ending the triple lock will be the final nail in the coffin for Ireland's neutrality. Why is that?
So the triple lock is, and even the triple lock is a bit of a misnomer, because the government are trying to say that the triple lock will become a double lock. But actually, the government, the triple lock just basically provides for us an external arbiter to ensure that our peacekeeping activities remain under the mandate of the UN, under the Blue Helmet, the Blue Beret. It's been a long tradition for us.
But this is what I don't understand about this argument, because, you know, we have the Security Council, the permanent members of the UN, who will not allow us to do what we have done in the past.
Yeah.
America, China and Russia. So why do we want to be beholden to that decision-making process?
But nobody in the opposition is saying that the UN doesn't need reform. And we want our government to engage in that reform. We want the Security Council and the veto and all of the issues that stem from that to be dealt with. But that's not what this government is doing. Like, first and foremost, the triple lock can be satisfied by the General Assembly of the UN. And our government has not tried. So they talk a lot about the veto and even the chilling effect of the veto before the veto is even used. But they do not try and go to the General Assembly to try and resolve it. For me, like, the UN provides for us a multilateral approach to our foreign policy, which cannot be given or granted or satisfied by any other body. That's what the UN is there for.
But you're wistfully hoping and praying that the world hasn't changed fundamentally. Like,
no,
the UN
has not completely changed. But the UN was established at a time of immense global conflict. So people talk a lot now about we are in a period of increased global volatility. That is what the UN was born from. And it said that when we act in regional blocks with our own self-interests at regional level, we will enter into world wars. And you know who are going to be the worst affected by that is smaller nations. And that's why we set up a global order to essentially rise above that and provide for a multilateral world. And that's what we're leaving behind if we lose the triple lock.
Let's bring in Niall Collins on this, because people will remember back at the time of the second Lisbon Treaty vote, Niall, that the triple lock was really leaned on as an absolute guarantee of our neutrality. Now you say it has nothing to do with our neutrality. So you can see why people feel discombobulated.
That's true, but the world has changed radically since then. We've had no new peacekeeping missions mandated since 2014. And really, the whole geopolitical scenario has altered the whole decision-making process. I think it's right to remove the triple lock. I think people have to trust their government. They have to trust the members of Dáil Éireann. And the legislation, when it is enacted over the coming weeks, will also ensure that any future peacekeeping missions, that it does adhere to the principles and the ideals within the United Nations Charter and indeed within international law. So I think we have to be mature about it. We have to be able to trust ourselves. Unfortunately, the five Parliament members, as we know, just cannot be relied upon. They even vetoed a resolution recently calling for a full and final ceasefire within Gaza. So, you know, this is how serious it is.
But Sinead says really, that Ireland hasn't pushed this. You know, you haven't pushed the mechanism where you take this to the General Assembly. Would that not be the way to do it before we fundamentally change what we do here?
Yeah, I don't think that's really a workable avenue. Now, I do agree The United Nations has to be reformed. But look, you know, it's not one or the other. I think we can quite simply manage our own affairs. We have to trust our own judgment. We have to trust ourselves in terms of our military capability, our military capacity. We have to listen to the leaders in our defence forces when we're going about this in the future, and they'll all be part of any future decision-making process. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, do we want Vladimir Putin or the leader of China or indeed the leader of the United Kingdom? Are we going to, you know, maintain and sustain a situation where they decide what we do or where our Irish troops go to partake in peacekeeping missions? It's really farcical. And, you know, I go back to what I said to you at the outset. It's 2014 was the last time one of these missions was approved by the United Nations.
Sinead,
so it's just simply not sustainable.
Just on that point, that we allow the Vladimir Putins of the world to stop us from going in on these peacekeeping missions. That's where Niall Collins and the government say that we are.
And they're relying really heavily on that point. And it's really disingenuous because, first of all, missions have been renewed since 2014 for a start. But if we use the example of Irini, which is the one that's in there at the moment, like Irini can be satisfied by the UN General Assembly. Like there are certain peacekeeping missions which do need Security Council approval. But that's not, again, this government isn't trying to do anything about it.
So all can saying I ask is, you this?
That's reason enough. And we're just going to go and leave it all behind, leave multilateralism behind.
What is the danger of removing the triple lock and it becoming a double lock? What is the danger?
Well, Niall talked a lot about trust there and that the people need to trust the government. I mean, first of all, I think that's questionable given how many U-turns we've seen from this government since they've been in office. I mean, we still don't have an OTB 2 years on, an Occupied Territories Bill. But besides that, this would allow for any government of the future to deploy troops in a way that provides for no oversight and no guardrails. Like we have at the moment, a madman in the White House in the US who is using essentially at his disposal different elements of the state to impose incredibly awful impositions on people, scooping up people in ICE raids and all the rest. Like we cannot rely on our government to be the sole decision maker in the deployment of troops. I do not believe that that allows us to be militarily neutral.
So we need the guardrails of the UN is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. We need guardrails and the ministers, various ministers have said that this new legislation will provide for guardrails. That is nonsense. They are simply not there. I mean, besides removing the triple lock, besides removing the UN mandate requirement, they're also extending the deployment of troops up to 50 before they even have to come to the Dáil. But I don't agree that that people need to just trust. I mean, we are in a moment in time of increased militarization. And again, like, I mean, I discussed this in the chamber a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about the myths that the government put out on this, which really make it so hard for people to cut through the argument. They say, first of all, they're only trying to reform it. That is nonsense. This legislation will dismantle it completely. They say that it's not central to our neutrality anyway. And of course, Micheál Martin's quote on this is haunting him from 2013, where he said it's core to our neutrality. Then they say that Europe isn't on a path towards militarization. That is simply not true. I mean, we have installed a defence commissioner. Who is openly talking about a European defence policy. So that is, and there are governments at play here, there are countries at play who have to declare their interest in the fact that militarisation fuels their economy. That's something we don't talk about when we talk about this. And finally, that they support Irish neutrality, because if you pick apart all of those ones, that is not true. And even members of our government have openly said that they don't support Irish neutrality.
Do you, Niall Collins, support Irish neutrality?
I do, of course. But look, I mean, clearly, Sinead says she doesn't trust the present Irish government. And it's a fair statement out of her there now that she doesn't trust any future Irish government. And she,
I think,
is in a party that aspires to being in government in the future in Ireland. Now, that's a fair statement to say.
I did not say that, Niall. I said I don't trust the current government.
I said you're putting words in my mouth that are not true, Niall. And you're completely...
But did you not say that we don't know what's coming? So, you know, we could have a government in place that would have free rein here on military activity by the Irish Defence Forces.
Yes, but I didn't say I don't trust any future government. What I'm saying is that this government is saying we have safe hands, let us be the decision makers. What I'm saying is that is not always going to be the case, and we cannot plan for that.
Okay.
We need guardrails.
No, go ahead.
So to follow through Sinead's logic, which is crazy logic in my opinion, is you will have a government in the future in Ireland that nobody can trust, and we'd rather trust Vladimir Putin's judgment in relation to all of this. Like, this is just crazy logic out of the Social Democrats, and I think it's a real window of opportunity for the Irish public to see the true Social Democrats in terms of the non-serious policies that they have within their political movement. The facts are this. We've had nothing since 2014 that we can point to. The standout mission that we're involved in the Lebanon is now being wound down. We got an extension for another year, thankfully, so that we could do an orderly wind down. And it is the case that we're militarily neutral. We're not involved. We don't participate in any military alliances. That's enshrined in our foreign policy. We know what the Constitution of Ireland says in relation to all of this. And it's important that we are available to make our own decisions as a sovereign state, that the government can take a decision, having had due consideration to the law, to where the mission, the proposed mission, is going to be, who the partners of that mission will be, what the host country's view in relation to it will be. All of that will be part of the decision-making process, and so will every democratically elected member of Dáil Éireann. Like, this is crazy. We have an event here in Ireland every 5 years. It's called a general election. A government is elected and members of Dáil Éireann are elected and subsequently Seanad Éireann. That is what the Irish people choose to do. They choose to elect people. And I think we have to trust in these people. And for a member of Dáil Éireann to be saying that I don't have trust in the present government and I don't have
again,
trust
I did not say what you're about to imply
it's just
that I
a real
said,
staggering
but you guys
statement.
Niall, you guys went out when Lisbon failed the first time and you got some legal certainty around the triple lock and you came back and you said, look, our neutrality is absolutely copper fastened because of the triple lock and now it is set down in law, and the Irish public said, okay, we accept that, and they voted Lisbon through on that basis. Now you're saying, don't worry about that. No, don't worry about it. It's grand. We're still going to be neutral, but it'll be a double lock.
Nothing changes in relation to our neutrality. Our neutrality is not
that
being
that is
diluted.
Crazy logic, Niall. You're calling me crazy,
can I just
but
make
that
the point,
is crazy
please,
logic.
Made, you've had a good run of this. Nothing is changing run. In relation to our neutrality. And you can keep saying it, Sinead, but it's not true. Our neutrality is not in threat. Our neutrality is not being watered down. And Sinead, the world has changed radically since 2011, 2012, 2013. And if you cannot recognize that and if you cannot identify with that, well, then again, you're leaving yourself down badly, in my opinion.
Okay.
You just have to look at all the various issues around the world that should never have occurred.
Listen,
and that should be well resolved by now. And allowing five parliament members
right.
of the
Niall,
United
and you've
Nations
made you've made that point. I just in our remaining
crazy.
Time, I just want to move to the football game in September between Ireland and Israel. And we know now that the likely venue will not be Ireland. Sinead Gibney has been writing about this in the Examiner. Today, you're involved in the Stop the Game campaign.
Yes,
you want this
emotion.
Completely
yeah.
pulled altogether. You accuse the government of hiding behind the FAI and FIFA. Why?
The FAI and UEFA. So essentially, the FAI have made the decision that they will not play or that they will play the game. And we expect now that the board will announce after the Ireland-France match. Come on, you girls in green, that they will move to a neutral venue. And essentially, the government are saying that that's their decision. We can't do anything about it. I have asked the minister directly, ministers, what they have done to essentially provide support to the FAI to essentially cover them for any financial sanctions that they might have. But also, we have precedent on this. Fianna Fáil in the past blocked Yugoslav players from arriving here for another fixture. So we know that when the government wishes to, that it can step in. But they're essentially hiding behind the FIA Football Association of Ireland decision, and the FAI are, I would argue, hiding behind the UEFA decision and not challenging it further, despite the fact that their membership and football fans across Ireland have made it crystal clear that they do not believe that this game should go ahead. Moving venue does not stop the game.
Now, do you think the game should go ahead?
Well, first of all, there's a couple of points, if I can make them quite quickly. We're a global leader in terms of trying to bring about positive change for the people of Palestine. We, when I say the Irish state, the Irish people, led by the Irish government, we're leading a change right across the European Union in terms of the recognition of the state of Palestine, our unprecedented aid that we've given to them. We're going to enact the Occupied Territories Bill before the Dáil rises next July. We've sanctioned ministers as late as last week in relation to their carry-on and their conduct. There's a travel ban has been imposed upon them. We've
and yet
got
you expect our football players to stand on a pitch beside the Israeli team with all of the pomp and ceremony that goes with that. Can you understand that that's a very difficult position for those players to be in?
I do, but just to finish, we've sanctioned settlers. We brought about a situation in the European Union. We got agreement where...
Okay, but I did ask you very simply whether you believe that match should go ahead or not. What's your answer?
And just to conclude, Micheál Martin is on the record as stating that were Benjamin Netanyahu to land in Ireland in the Irish jurisdiction, we would...
Yeah, I just want to know about the football. Do you think it should go ahead or not?
I think my own... Well, the government has stated its position in relation to this, that it's a matter for the governing authority and for the organisers of the competition itself.
So it's nothing to do with the government?
My own personal view is, I'll give you my personal view because we know what the government view is. My own personal view is the state of Israel shouldn't be allowed to compete in any of these competitions because they're a rogue state. They're engaged in apartheid, genocide, the situation can't pertain. And I think every lever should be pulled in relation to trying to bring them to account.
But if FIFA say they should play a match, we as the FAI in Ireland should go ahead with that decision, should agree with that decision and go to, and play that match.
And if I may, Niall, well, I don't think
we should disadvantage the Irish team. The point I'm making is this: the state of Israel, the Israel team shouldn't be allowed to compete. We shouldn't disadvantage ourselves by not turning up for the fixture. Wherever the fixture is played, I won't be going to it. That's my position in relation to it. But certainly,
will you be voting in favour of our motion tomorrow morning, which does exactly that?
Your motion is effectively meaningless, and motions at Dáil Éireann don't decide any of these things. The point I'm making is the governing bodies shouldn't allow, in my opinion, my personal opinion, the state of Israel to play in any of these competitions. And any decisions that's taken shouldn't disadvantage Irish soccer.
All right, well, let's see what happens. Thank you both. Sinead Gibney from the Social Democrats and Fianna Fáil's Niall Collins.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.